in Michael Jordan's day when he was out of the game, the team didn't win as much. Or some other star player who's really talented and who works really, really hard. If he's not in the game, the team doesn't win. Brett Favre is back with the Minnesota Vikings, right? I see Rick smiling over here. He's such a Minnesota fan. Will the Vikings be, would they be a team without him? Well, the season coming up will show. We'll see. And likewise, we have to recognize that who is the major player in history or having to do with any people or any cause? Is it not God Almighty himself? And if he is not in the game, what happens to the people who are trying to do something or achieve something or accomplish something? The spirit is stronger and the success is greater always when God is in the game and leading the way. Now, you see, that's what the Israelites were discovering as they were about to enter into the promised land. You know the story. They've been wandering for 40 years trying to get to this place where they are today. And here they are knocking on the door of the land of Palestine. And it has been promised to them. They got to get there. Moses is no longer with them. He died. But the man who's leading them is Joshua. And they are all set to go. Except there's one little problem. Something in the way. It was a river. Now, to you and me, it wasn't much of a river. I've seen the Jordan River across from Jericho, and it might be, or I'd say maybe about as wide as this room, okay? And you say, well, that's not much of a river to cross. Well, except for a little problem. There are no boats to take them. There are no ferries. There's no bridges or anything like that. And it's also, the Bible says, it is the time of harvest when the Jordan River is flowing at its fastest. And it is moving right along. It is an obstacle in their way that they can't overcome. What are they going to do? How are they going to get across? Well, according to God, there's a couple things you have to do to get across. First of all, you have to make preparations. And that's exactly what God told Joshua to do. And Joshua then told the people to do. Get prepared. Y'all prepare yourselves. And God instructed Joshua to do it this way. He said, have the Levite priests carry the Ark of the Covenant and have it travel in front of the people. You remember what the Ark of the Covenant is now, right? It's that ornate box that's so intricately described in the Old Testament that the Israelites carried with them in the wilderness. They didn't worship the box. It was not God to them, but it represented the presence of God in their midst. And it was a very important symbol of God's presence. That Yahweh was with them, they knew it, experienced it, and had some very special revelations come about because of that box called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you see, normally when they traveled, the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the center of the people, okay? A whole bunch of them went before, a whole bunch of them went after. God was in their midst. Now God says, wait a minute. Now what I want you to do is have the Levites carry the ark in front of all the people. You know, so many times when we're confronting an obstacle or having a difficulty, we're not willing to let God take the lead, are we? We want to take the lead. We want to come up with a plan. We want to figure it out. And then we want God to jump in and help us with what we've figured out. But God says, nah, folks, it don't work that way. Could you just let me take the lead? Okay, that's what he definitely did here in the third chapter of Joshua. Put God first, Israel. Let him confront the obstacle, and you just see what he does about it. Did you know that if you open your Bible, and you found the very middle of the Bible, maybe you've read about this before, what's the very center verse of the Bible? You would find yourself in the book of Psalms, you would find yourself in chapter 118, and it would be verse 9. The center verse of the Bible says this, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in mankind or people? That would be a very challenging question right there. Who do you put your confidence in first? Do you put it in yourself? Do you put it in other people? Or do you put it in God? You know, Oliver Cromwell was the Prime Minister of England in the 1500s, and one time he sent his foreign minister over to the continent to do some very urgent business for him. This minister spent the night at a seaport town, and when the night before he was to have the big meeting, he could not sleep. He tossed and he turned, and you've done that before, haven't you? Just couldn't sleep. Some big thing coming up the next day he was worried about. In those days and times, it was customary to have a servant along with you, of course, and the servant slept in the same room as the minister. And finally, the foreign minister just woke his servant up, and told him, I can't sleep. I'm afraid something's going to go wrong with this assignment. And his servant simply said to him, Master, may I ask a question or two of you? Well, sure, he said. And the servant said, did God rule the world before you and I were born? Well, most assuredly, he did. And will he rule it after we are dead? The minister, well, said, certainly, he will. Well then, Master, why not let him rule the present too? And in a few minutes, both the foreign minister and the servant were sound asleep. Good advice, don't you think? It's like the little boy who was singing the song, Trust and Obey, except he was singing it, Trust and Okay. I think the kid had something there, okay? Trust and okay, for there's no other way. But let God take the lead. How many times have you struggled over something, wrestled with something, worried about something, just got the best of you, and finally you got to the end of your rope and you said, Lord, I give up. If there's anything that's going to happen about this that's good, you're going to have to do it. I give up. And lo and behold, shortly after that, that trouble that you were so worried about, something happened to it, or it went away, or the situation changed, and God did a very good job of taking care of that which you couldn't handle. I suspect that God's plan was better than yours or mine, always is. Now, the nation of Israel was preparing itself to overcome its obstacle, the Jordan River. They did it first by putting God first. Notice that God was specific about this. He said, put the ark about 2,000 cubits ahead of everybody. That's about 1,000 yards. Okay? Why? Because he wanted to make that point that God was going to do it and he didn't need the people. Now, there was the sense in which the ark was very holy and it should not be profaned. But God, I think, wanted to just say, now just watch. Stand back and watch how I handle things. Another important thing the people were told to do was to consecrate themselves, or another translation says sanctify themselves. Do you know what those words mean? Probably if I said that the Lord said to sanitize themselves, you'd say, oh yeah, now I get it. The words have to do with becoming pure or clean. Sanitize yourselves. Clean up your act. They had all sorts of rituals in which they were asked to perform to do that. But the whole goal was that they might put aside sin, might put aside evil, put aside the bad stuff, and better be equipped to serve the Lord. He said, purify yourselves. Get rid of the dirtiness, because only a pure and holy God is going to lead you. Clean up your act. What better way is there for you and I to be prepared in life to deal with our troubles than to clean up our act? Let go of the dirty stuff, let go of the rotten stuff, let go of the evil stuff that we might not even recognize as being that, but if we really examined it, said, you know, this is not in God's will, I need to put this aside. You will really be preparing yourself for God to lead you where he wants you to go. Once we make preparation by putting God first, we have to take the next step. What is it when you are about to take out a new project or get into something that you haven't done before? You said, well, you know, I've got to, I'm going to get my feet wet on this, okay? Or you've told that to somebody else. You get your feet wet on this and you'll get going. Well, literally, that's what they had to do. God told them and said, now look, get the Levite priests who are carrying the ark to step into the Jordan River. Here's a river at flood stage, right? Okay, I see the water swiftly moving past. What if you were one of those Levite priests asked to step out into the river? Get your feet wet. Take risks. The Jordan River is flowing over its banks. It's probably the month of April. God is not leading them through some dry time, some drought, where it's already dry like that. There is a big obstacle before them, and what happens? The Bible says, as soon as their feet touched the Jordan River, what happened? It stopped flowing. It literally says that the water stood up in a heap at a good distance away at a city called Adam, which was upstream there at the Jordan River. How did that happen? Did you know that in the Jordan River Valley there are frequent earthquakes? A lot of earthquakes take place in that part of the world and have occurred in this area that the Bible is talking about. On the west bank of the Jordan River, at this place called Adam, there are cliffs that are 150 feet tall. And it has happened in the past that an earthquake took place, the land shook, and a big chunk of the cliffs fell into the Jordan River and stopped the river from flowing for a little while. It happened in December of the year 1267. It happened in the year 1906. It happened in 1927 as well. This phenomena took place. In 1927, for a while the waters were stopped up by the dirt that fell in, people were able to walk across the Jordan River from one side to the other. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if you weren't saying to yourself, hey, wait a minute, that's not a miracle. That took place because of a natural phenomenon. Okay, well, who's in control of earthquakes? Who's in control of all natural phenomena? If he wants to be. I don't know when God's in control and when is not, but that would hardly be the point. The point would be, what great timing. And often in our lives, that's the thing that is at work. God doesn't necessarily have to bust in with a miracle or something that just wows us as being supernatural or completely out of the ordinary. So many times God can use natural events, natural people, natural circumstances, but his timing is absolutely impeccable. Just great. You were so down, you were so blue, you just wanted to give up. And it was at that very moment the phone rang. And it was your best friend you hadn't heard from in many, many years. And she called you up and lifted your spirits and let you know that you were loved and cared for by somebody and you weren't forgotten. That wasn't a miracle, was it? Oh, but the timing was perfect. Perhaps it's God's timing. Nobody can prove this. Nobody at all. But this is what happened. God's timing. Just great. So, we might ask ourselves, that isn't that how God helps us? We may not be able to see how he's going to help us, how he's going to save us, how he's going to carry us over. But we just got to run the risk and step out there in the water and head the direction that he wants us to head. And then we'll see what he might do. Do you have to see what God is going to do before you act? That's what he was challenging the Israelites here with, was, I'm not going to show you. I'm just going to tell you what to do. And you'll see it when you need to see it, and it's going to happen. So if you and I are sitting back and saying, God, I want you to show me first. I want you to explain it to me. I want you to lay it all out, and then I'll follow you. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he said, no, you just get going. You just try it. You just do it. I'm leading the way. and I'll take care of it. So they step over to the other side. All the people walk across the dry ground, and then after they've gotten to the other side, then the Jordan River just starts flowing again. Does this sound familiar? Has this ever happened to Israel before? Yes, it has. But they do something very interesting they're told to do. Now, before you all step out of the riverbed, I want one person from each of the 12 tribes to Israel to get a great big stone, get a big strong man, put it on his shoulder, carry it up on this side of the Jordan. We're going to make a little memorial here, going to make a little monument. I want 12 stones to be sitting on this side of the Jordan that you guys got over to. Why? God makes it very clear. Many years from now, when the people who've experienced this have passed on and gone on, we'll have these 12 stones here as a monument. And when your children ask, hey, Dad, what do these 12 stones mean? That'll give you and your descendants an opportunity to say, well, let me tell you, son, this is what God did for us right here. Got us from that side of the Jordan to this side of the Jordan. And these stones are here to help us remember that. That's something you and I need to do. We need to remember. Remember the times that God has seen us through. Remember the times that God has saved us. Hang on to something that reminds us that He's in charge and not us. I think God has given us some symbols along the way in our Christian life that remind us of this kind of thing. Baptism. Baptism is a symbol that saving us is God's doing, that washing away our sins is something that He accomplished, not something that we came up with. That Jesus stepped into the Jordan River and you followed Him in the waters of baptism. And remember, your sins were washed away. And you see somebody else baptized, you remember your own baptism too. And God's goodness brought to you today, us modern day believers, seen through the waters of baptism. And whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper here too, it's another memorial, a reminder. Oh yeah, Jesus gave His life for us completely and fully. And we talk about that every month when we share the Lord's Supper together. A memorial, a reminder. And the cross. The cross is another symbol for us. I had it before the children this morning here. You remember Jesus. You know who Jesus is. Do you know what He's done for us in saving us? Every time we see a cross, that's our memorial reminder. We can look in stained glass windows. We can see in a stained glass window in a church or someplace a person, something about the Christian life, and be reminded that way. We've got lots of memorials, and we need to make use of them. We don't worship them, but through them we're reminded what God can do. So, what obstacle is facing you today? What's in the way of your being fulfilled, happy, blessed? What's in the way of you being on God's side of the river? You think that obstacle is bigger than God? Can't be. It can't be at all. But could it be that you are the only one trying to wrestle with that obstacle? You're just using your own brains, your own power, your own abilities. Well, bad news is you'll stay on this side of the river if you are. Could you do like the Israelites did? Could you prepare yourself in the ways that you're supposed to prepare yourself? Could you let God take the lead? Could you follow Him and run the risk and get your feet wet and just go out into the water and see what He's going to do? Now, nobody can do this for you. Only you can do it for yourself. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if what you thought was so troublesome, what you thought was so terrible, you thought was so difficult, if you let God take the lead, you'd be surprised that you wake up the next morning and that trouble's, it's not there. Or it's gone, or it's changed, not by your doing, but by the power of God. God will see you through. That takes preparation. It takes a time to act. And whenever it happens, Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Because I greatly suspect that there'll become another time when you need that kind of faith, when you need that kind of reminder again. What it takes to get across is letting God take the lead. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder. Thank you for the experience of the Israelites. Thank you that we know that we're in the same boat. We don't have a boat. All we really have is you. So, Lord, see us to the other side. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would empower the person in this room today who needs your saving leadership. I pray that you would see him, her, and all of us through. And when we are seen through, Lord, we'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.